opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
And good morning, this is Free Fire Radio, KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. And this morning, it's Trish and Carl. Trish and Carl, Trish and Baron. God, I'm all right. No, I'm really not. I started this whole thing an hour early, so
well,
I'm a little...
We're both Marines, so we're both out.
The Marine, exactly. Yeah. Baron Browning is my co-host this morning, and Carl and Linda are off on assignment, so it's going to be Trish and Baron all morning. Good morning, Baron.
Good morning, Trish.
It's about 65 degrees outside as we speak. We're looking for a high today of 91, a low of 60. On Saturday, a high of 93 and a low of 61. On Sunday, a high of 93 and a low of 61. Monday, a high of 90 and a low of 59. On Tuesday, starting to cool down a little bit, 83. On Wednesday, a 76. And on Thursday, 73. So actually getting into a little bit of fall weather, which I kind of am going to welcome. I like these crisp mornings, and be great to have some 70s for a while and get past this 90-degree weather, which I'm not all that crazy about. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally and veteran-owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. So, as usual, it's Friday morning, and we've got Katrina from Haven Humane with us this morning. And we have a really calm little nice Cora, who is a pit mix, 2 years old, just sitting over there so nice and just behaving like crazy.
Yeah, she's such a sweet girl. I think we have her as like a blue nose mix, because she's got that coloring to her. But she's a very small girl. She's definitely a medium-sized dog, but more on the small end of the spectrum there. I think she's just under 50 pounds. But she's super sweet, super loving. She's good with other dogs. Something special about her, though, is she is heartworm positive. But the special thing about that is, thanks to our Misty Lee Fund, we were able to raise all the money we needed to be able to begin her treatment. So she's going to be starting that pretty soon. So she is definitely still up for adoption while she's undergoing treatment. We can just, you know, we'll let you know everything you need to know about what that treatment is, what her care looks like, and all that sort of stuff. But then she'll be good to go to live a nice, long, happy life.
So when they start the heartworm treatment, it is curable and they go on to have no issues after that?
As far as I know, yes.
Okay.
I know the treatment, it's about 3 months long. And then afterward, they need to stay on prevention.
Okay, and which we all encourage.
Yeah, of course.
In the area, all animals should have the heartworm. And so the cost of this treatment is covered?
Yes, we were able to raise it through a lot of donations, which is really cool. I'm going to be taken care of. The adopters don't have to worry about coming up with the money for that kind of treatment. Just if they adopt her, you know, in the next couple of months, they will have to follow through with her care and whatnot.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Well, thanks to all those who donated, right?
Right.
Absolutely.
Couldn't do it without them.
That's really good. So how many animals are available for adoption on a regular basis?
Oh.
I mean, do you have a lot of a choice for people?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'd say probably right now we have a good 30 plus dogs, and we always have a good like 40 plus cats at any given time. So we have a pretty good variety of animals right now for you to come choose from.
And this is a better time of year to do it than to wait till around the holidays. I know getting an animal in the mix of Christmas and everything can sometimes be really hard on the family and on the animal because there's so much going on.
Okay.
You know, so I think going into this kind of season, your weather's getting a little better. Be a good time to get an animal in your house and get them used to the indoor and outdoor before it gets real cold.
Oh,
we'll
definitely.
Call it a Halloween present.
There you go.
I like it. But yeah, if you would like to come down and meet Cora, No appointment necessary. Come on down and meet her. And you can also give us a call at 241-1653 if you have any questions about her or anybody else.
What's the average cost when you go to adopt from Haven?
So a dog her age, between 6 months and 6 years, are going to be $75.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that comes with all the shots and tags and all that good stuff?
Yep. We always send them home spayed and neutered, microchipped, up to date on all their shots. So there's usually not much you have to do for a little while after adopting from us.
And Cora, it's just, she's just being so nice over there. She's just calm and just looking around. And
yeah, she's a very sweet girl. Definitely a good family dog.
Yeah, real cute. Yeah.
Did you know her name was Cora ahead of time, or did you guys name her?
We named her. She came into us as a stray.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Does she know she's Cora?
Sometimes.
It'll stick sooner or later.
Yeah, right. Very good. All right. Well, thanks so much, Katrina. It's lovely to have you here with us. And if you're interested, tell them again one more time how they would go about contacting you to adopt Cora.
Yeah, you can either give us a call at 241-1653, or you can just come straight on down to the shelter and say you'd like to meet with the pet of the week.
Oh, the pet of the week, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much, Katrina, for coming in.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so, Baron, what's going on in the city of Anderson?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you saw we APD had another raid yesterday.
I heard all about that. That was interesting, yeah.
So the pictures are interesting. First time I saw them was when I got a call late yesterday afternoon in regards to what had happened. I went online and saw that APD had posted the pictures of it. And obviously, it's a good thing they caught it. There was wires going everywhere, so the danger and fire danger, obviously, Anderson Fire was called. It was
a joint effort, actually, between the Anderson Fire Department. You know, the fire marshal works very closely, and, of course, the chief is part of that whole enforcement branch as well. So it's a good arrangement that we've got with the Anderson Fire Protection District and the Anderson Police Department on these things. We've got it covered from both ends.
Right. And there's a legal way. People, typically get online. I saw a few yesterday in regards to it's just marijuana, and I get it. It's legal. But there is a process in Anderson that you can go about getting a permit to grow your own marijuana legally.
Yeah, but not 2,100 plants.
Probably not 2,100, no.
That's a bit overkill, I think. That's a few too many. I'm pretty sure that's beyond.
They created other rooms. They had wires running everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
Probably a very dangerous situation for whoever's around them. And that's really the concern I know from the fire department and the city and police department is the danger of other people, you know, the general public. And those living
around
that.
To say nothing of the fire department, which is right across the street from.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So good job on all parts, from interagency, cause you have the Narcotics Task Force,
CINTIF,
Anderson Fire, Anderson Police Department, and the City of Anderson, code enforcement went out as well.
Right. It was a complete joint effort and well executed. It's been under investigation for some time.
Yep.
Just for interest, the old making glass, business, my friend had the making glass place there for many years. And they were been closed now for, I think, a couple of years.
Okay. It's red tag, so we're good. And the meter was pulled, so there's absolutely no power going there.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking for that many plants, their water bill and their electric bill should have caused attention to somebody, because it must have been incredible.
Yeah.
What was going on there.
Well, that's what CINTIF's for.
They
investigate all those things, and obviously either they got a tip or something happened. So, yeah, good for them.
Yeah, very good.
Way to keep the community safe. We appreciate it.
Well, exactly. And for those of you out here who you know something is going on in a house or something near you, there is procedures and you can phone that in. Bear in mind that it takes a while to build the case.
Yep.
I mean, they have them under investigation. They go along and they do what they need to do. But they need to build the case so it sticks when they make the arrest.
That's right.
And so be patient. If you're called in, and if you see something else, I know they appreciate your tips. And that helps them build the case if you get license number for cars or whatever, and it's helpful. But be patient because it doesn't happen. You don't call them in and they don't make the arrest the next day.
That's right. Typically not. Yeah.
Yeah. They have to build the case. So, this portion of the show has been brought to us by Cornerstone Community Bank. A community-oriented, dedicated team of professionals committed to providing the highest level of personal service. We have one on East Cypress Avenue at Hempstead, East Cypress Branch, and soon to come to the city of Anderson at the on Balls Ferry Road. Cornerstone Community Bank, serving this community. We'll be right back after these messages.
Turtle Bay's fall plant sale is coming up Saturday, October 2nd. Both members and non-members will enjoy discounts on regular nursery prices. Don't miss this chance to save big during this key season for planting perennials. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Are you not getting treatment for a work injury because of denials? Call me, Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, at 530-262-2168, and I will get you results. The insurance company and your employer have an attorney working hard for them. You need somebody fighting for you. When you call Gorman Law, you're going to speak with me, not a paralegal, because the last thing you should be worried about is whether or not your attorney is working for you. There is no cost until your case is settled. Consultations are free and confidential. Call today, 530-262-2168. That's 530-262-2168.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Deco Manufacturing Company presents How People Make Things at Turtle Bay now through January 9th. Explore this new and interactive exhibit where kids can learn firsthand about the tools and processes used to make objects that we see and use every day. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. You can jump into the chat room at kcnr1460.com. Or if you'd like to join in the conversation this first half hour, you can give us a call at 605-4567. If you've got something that you'd like to talk to us about or bring up to you, something that's kind of irritating you and you'd like to talk about. Or if you have a question for Councilman Baron Browning from the city of Anderson. But Baron wears many hats. He has, two or three businesses?
A couple, yes.
Yeah, and then he is a city councilman and also a candidate for District 5 supervisor, which that election will be held in 2022.
June of 22.
Yes. Yeah. June of 22. There you go. So that's coming right up, and so if you've got any comments or questions about any of that, give us a call, because this is Trish Clark here this morning and Baron Browning. Linda and Carl are off on assignment, and so we're going to just be visiting with you this morning, and if you've got anything else you'd like to talk about, give us a call. So, Baron.
Yes.
How's candidacy going? Look, what do you see? What do you see as the issues in District 5 that you would like to tackle?
Countywide. Sure. You've got Anderson's doing, you know, very well. Obviously, we have a new police chief that just got sworn in, so that's always exciting. Chief Pletsky's just an amazing person. He has amazing family, so we look forward to his leadership after now Sheriff Johnson.
I know.
Has moved on.
We all love Sheriff Johnson. He, as our police chief, he was just well received and well respected in the city of Anderson. He has assured us that he's going to make great changes in the county and move forward with some issues there. And we know he will. And I think he's left us in good stead with Chief Pletsky.
He did.
And so yeah, we're looking for great things. And the city of Anderson, you're right. We've got a great operation going there and a lot of support from the community for the leadership, because the leadership has kept their word, done what they said they were going to do as we've moved forward, and are very open and respectful of the citizens.
Yeah, and the one thing is, you never rest on your laurels, right? You never think that you're absolutely perfect and you don't need to make any changes. You always got to look to, you know, what's the next thing going on? What can we do? And I think as a council, which is what I love about our council, we're always looking forward, right? Because in our mind, at least in my mind, if you're standing still, you're moving backwards. So you always got to be looking for the next thing. What's going on? How can we help the community? What can we make better for the community? You know, obviously we've done the splash pad. We can continue to work on public safety and our business aspect of going after strong businesses to be in our community. Mm-hmm. As you can see from Cornerstone Bank and others that are coming into the city of Anderson. So we continue to move forward on all of those fronts, just making sure that we're ahead of the curve and we're not missing anything. So it's truly what I love about that.
It is.
The great thing is, and I know you saw this over the last few weeks at our city council meeting, we always look at ways to improve it for our community and really make it a fun, family-orientated community. We did that with the splash pad in Anderson River Park. We continue to change things and do things better in Anderson River Park. But now we're going a little bit different direction. You know, you got Christmas coming up, and we always do a Christmas parade, Christmas in Anderson. So staff came to us with a brilliant idea, and we ended up purchasing a ice skating rink. So that will go on East Center Street. In the old burn lot, and that will go up, that will be redone, 5-0 vote from the council to move forward with that. So you'll see that progress going on, so that there will be a nice skating rink and some other features going on, and there's, always meetings going on, how can we make it better and improve it before we even get there. So it's exciting for us and the community, right? And someplace awesome where you can take your family, during the holiday season and have it at a very low cost.
The ice skating rink, I think, is just exciting. That is a fond memory. I grew up in Idaho, and we had in our backyard, it was a circular driveway, and it was actually, it was kind of sunken because that's where the cesspool was.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, the septic tank. And in the summer or in the winter, we flooded that, and we had an ice skating rink in the backyard.
Oh, very cool.
I mean, it was. So, I mean, I loved that, and it was, I missed that. I mean, that was just something you grew up with, ice skating. You had them, you know, you put them on your bike, and there were several different ponds that were frozen all winter long, and you could get on your bicycle, and you could take off with your ice skates and skate in all kinds of places. So it was, and something I haven't done in years. I wonder if I still got that. I'll have to get my ice skates out and see if we can do this.
Well, you'll rent ours. It comes with the whatever the rental fee is. My guess is it's going to be around $5 for an hour, which is a very low cost, just covering the maintenance of it all. But it is a specialized surface, and so you'll when you rent, when you pay that fee, you'll get a pair of skates from the tenant that's there to do that. We will not let you bring your own. So Trish, you can't bring your old ones.
Oh darn. Well, yeah, and they probably, I'm thinking at this point they'd be a bit dated. Just a little.
And I don't want to see your boot back on either. So.
Yeah, no, we don't want to go there. Gosh, you know, that is, it's for those of you who get put into that position, what that imbalance in your body by wearing those boots does. I mean, it takes a long time to get everything back in sync after you walk at a different elevation on one side.
Yep.
And then, I mean, it throws your back out and your hips, and it takes forever to get
right
back in. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I know when I'm working a lot, especially during fire season and doing different camps, I tend to lean on one side, and I noticed just in the last few weeks that my right hip is, you know, when I wake up in the morning, is a little stiffer, and so
yeah,
as we get older, yeah, we tend to balance ourselves, which is not necessarily good for the rest of the body.
Well, no, it isn't, and the thing is, if you have a pain or a kind of something, then you favor the other
yep
side, and then that gets to be, so yeah, the aging process is not for sissies.
That's there right.
I mean, I'm just here to tell you, it's not for sissies.
So I think this is going to be, along with the, obviously, the skating rink and Anderson, Christmas in Anderson, which is the Sunday after Thanksgiving every year.
Always.
Always. And so if you haven't been, there's a awesome parade that starts, and obviously we'll have food trucks there. We'll have some barbecue pits that are around there, that, and s'mores kits and other stuff, and obviously the ice skating rink. So there'll be a lot going on that. But this will probably be the last, in my mind anyway. Maybe it'll get warm again, but probably the last weekend for the splash pad. You're going to be in the 90s this weekend, and come on out. And we just had new chairs delivered yesterday.
Oh, wow.
And so those are actually sun chairs. They're concrete, and they're set around the splash pad. And they're sectioned in two, so there's two next to each other, and they're spread apart so people can still be in, you know, socially distant from each other. But you can go out there and get a little sunbathing and dry off after you've been in the splash pad with your, you know, your kids. But it's just another example of really of the council and staff coming forward with another item that is really family friendly, and anybody can do it, right? Because there's no cost to go there.
So, yeah, and I think that's the important part. If it's safe, it's a great way to spend some time with your kids, and as you indicate, interact and have some fun and healthy entertainment. And it's good to be out getting that vitamin D and exercising, and then sit back and dry off. And
we always have staff there for your protection, right? To not only if there's an emergency or something that goes on, but also just really watching out. And I know I get a lot of comments when I'm seeing people of the amount of times that APD rolls through that park. They love it.
Well,
the public, they love it because it truly is, in my mind, the safest park in Shasta County.
Well, it is, but that's the whole community. You know, when we talk about patrol, and that's exactly what our police department does. They're not sitting at the police station waiting for a call.
Right.
There is police patrol on a regular basis. They come through the senior center on a regular basis. I see them in my neighborhood. They're patrolling. They're out there on duty, and that's so important. It's one of the things that I know I've talked to Sheriff Johnson about is because that has been one of my complaints with Shasta County Sheriff Department. If I want to get a sheriff, the best place to get it's in the city of Reading, because that's where they're all at the office. And they're not out on patrol. And when I was working across the street from them for many years, I made a regular phone call over there. How many you got in the office right now? And how many are out in the field? Because I would see all the cars. And that, they, you know, that's called patrol for a reason.
Right.
And they need to be out there.
Right. And going back to your question earlier about what do I see, and I would tell you from Shingletown and Cottonwood, that is the big, and everywhere in the outskirts, at least in those areas and others too. I'm not taking away from anything outside of District 5. Because I know that others have the same complaint. And I think that's one thing that you'll see Sheriff Johnson really go after, and he's already talked about it, recruiting, getting those deputies in, you know, getting lateral transfers, not from Anderson, though. But anyway, move on. but then recruiting outside of that, the new recruits. So I think he has some great ideas. He always has. He did so well for Anderson, and I'll see him step up his game for Shasta County. But I think that's the biggest thing, going back to it, is in Cottonwood and Shingletown, which has been said for years, we really need almost permanent officers in those areas.
And at one time we did have that. We had, had resident sheriffs, certainly in Shingletown. And in fact, I mean, during my term, and that's been a while, but we had a substation up in Shingletown.
Right.
We had deputies who were there. I would go up on the, fourth Monday of every month and stay at the substation there and visit with the people in Shingletown and go around and talk to them at their different locations. But, we always had that presence, and we need to get back to that, because it's, I think now at any time in Shasta County, there's perhaps one or two people on patrol at night, 3,250 square miles.
Right.
That's not enough coverage.
Right.
So that's, and I know that Sheriff Johnson is aware of that.
He is, and
certainly something he's striving to improve. We'll be right back after these messages.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Take a stroll down Memory Lane at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage. Whether you're looking for tools from the past, vintage clothing, collectibles, jewelry, or something that just reminds you of the good old days, you can find it at Memory Lane. Those special shabby chic and vintage style items are seen in every nook and cranny. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can check out their Facebook page, but it's a lot more fun to explore the past and find your treasure. 1665 Pine Street in Reading, Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Thinking about starting a new career or upskilling for the career you have right now? It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. Reskill for those new jobs that are emerging in Shasta County. Find out today about their veterans programs and free tuition. All of this at Shasta College. Go to shastacollege.edu.
High Noble Safe Company, formerly known as Cold Steel Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane, is having a summer clearance sale. Save big on some of the highest quality safes around. High Noble Safe Company carries High Noble, Browning, and American Security, just to name a few, and features gun safes, home safes, and high security safes with stores in Redding, Roseville, and Petaluma. Delivery, moving, and repair service available. Call 530-223-5050. That's 530-223-5050. Or stop by High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Welcome back. This is KCNR 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, your talk radio. And it's Trish Clark and Baron Browning this morning visiting with you and talking about all kinds of things. This portion of the show is brought to us by Four Winds Jewelers, one of Linda and I's favorite places to go. It's like a candy store. It's got all kinds of fun things. It's Carl always says it's that perfect place to go when you've got an I'm sorry to do. It's just that they've got wonderful estate jewelry. They've got a great collection of turquoise, only watchmaker in Shasta County and watch repairmen. So it's all there and they'll clean your jewelry for you and replace watch batteries. And it's just a fun place to shop, and they make custom jewelry as well. So go and see them at 2225 Hilltop Drive or give them a call at 222-2750. So the third caller, Jared, we have the Haas Halloween celebration is starting this weekend.
Yes.
And I have two tickets, general admission, at the historic Haas Farms. Again, starting tonight, I have two tickets. The third caller will get those tickets.
Yeah, and I think the dates that are open is on the back. It is, yeah. So all the dates are right on the back of the tickets. So you can go
perfect.
Anytime during there.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think it's through the month of October pretty much. Is that... when
yeah,
it
runs through, yep, Saturday and Sunday, October 30th and 31st.
All right. So, perfect. So,
great weekend to go.
Tickets.
Perfect
again,
weather.
Again, third caller will get those tickets. So now we got a little hesitancy, and then all of a sudden the phones will start to ring.
I know. I'm trying to dial. So, hold on.
Hold on. Exactly. You know, that's always a fun time, and I personally am looking forward to the fall weather a little bit. I've had... And what a delight to not have the smoke in the air.
Yes. So, and a great point. So, thanks to all those firefighters and first responders that put their lives on the line and got the Fawn Fire out so quickly. You think about the Dixie Fire and the magnitude of almost 1 million acres, and then you look at ours, which was less than 10,000. Thank you. Thank you. And to all of you that were displaced and lost your homes or had part of your homes destroyed, our hearts go out to you for sure.
I can't say it enough, the whole arson aspect of these fires. That's just the worst thing that can happen, I think. Why anybody would it's horrendous.
Right.
The life, the opportunity for many lives to be lost, fortunately they weren't, but the destruction of people's homes and all of their keepsakes and everything, and when it's caused by arson, I mean, accident's bad enough, but you're right, it was fortunate that there weren't a lot of other fires going on, so
right.
That they were able to get on it quickly and keep it from spreading to too many populated areas, and they did a masterful job of getting it down and controlling it, so we're very thankful.
The thing I love the most, and I said this in a post a couple of days ago, was the amount of love and kindness, human kindness, that comes out in our area especially, that I see during a tragedy like this. Cowboy 911 out there gathering up animals, risking their own lives for the life, you know, to save that life of that animal. And then Reading Rodeo Association for opening up their doors free of charge to let those people come in, not only to bring their animals, but then those people were allowed to stay in the area so they could be near their animals in their trailers. So, and that goes on. Haven Humane takes in all of those rescue animals. I know I talked to Mark Story that evening, and thank you, Mark, for taking my call that the night of the first big night of the fire. And he was out there himself, knocking on doors and rescuing, you know, dogs and cats and other, you know, people's pets, right? Haven Humane does a great job. And it just goes on and on and on, right? And then you've got, United Shasta, Salvation Army stepping up and delivering food, and then United Shasta doing, drives for those people, that are displaced. And so, The amount of human kindness in our area, you've got to love it. And
it
that's
is. You
why
know,
you love living here, right?
Exactly. But, you know, we can be divided on so many issues and have things going on in the community. And whenever any of these, and we've certainly had our share of these horrible disasters that happen, but the community comes together like none other that I've ever lived in or am aware of, and why we love living here.
Yep.
But all of the different areas, whether it's in you know, it's a huge county. So whether it's in Reading or Anderson or Shingletown or wherever the catastrophe is happening, the whole rest of the community comes together.
Every time.
All of the businesses, all of our little small businesses that have struggled through the last 2 years, they're still there giving whatever they can, and they're always give more and more and more to make sure that everybody that's impacted by these things has what they need. And it's so important. And so, like you say, it's inspiring. I was out of town when this last one started, but I immediately started getting information about it, and the pictures were that was horrendous, the way that rolled in, and the pictures just you can't unsee that kind of threatening thing when you see the concrete and then the blue sky and then that hovering death threat over the top. That smoke was just.
And we still have the trauma from the car fire. So now we're walking, you know, we're watching it almost play out all over again in some aspects. And, you know, it is okay to have those feelings, and it is okay to talk through them. So don't feel like you're alone. You know, PTSD is real.
Yes.
You don't need to self-absorb it. It just makes it worse. And make sure you're connecting with those if you still have those feelings and issues. You connect with the right people and get some help.
Well, because there were many people who were threatened with evacuation again, who'd been there, done that.
Right.
In the previous one. I mean, you know, Carl and I talked yesterday about the fact that there were people who had burned out from the Oakland fire, who came up here and then got burned out at the in the car fire, repeated. I mean, I don't know how you keep even sane when you're trying to recover from fires a couple, three times. People who were burned out in the Paradise fire who turn around and get evacuated again. And there is help available for you. And if you're feeling like you're overwhelmed by that, reach out, because that's okay. I mean, to feel that way.
Right.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show again and again, and not to get too political, but forest management, we've got to stop talking about it. That's the great thing I love about being a councilman in the city of Anderson, is there's a lot less talk and a lot more action. And government needs that right now. We need a lot less talk and a lot more action. The forest management is not rocket science. It was done for, you know, hundreds of years prior to us getting in the middle of it and trying to they called Fix It, which made a disaster as we know today. You look at Lassen Park alone, 3/4 of Lassen Forest gone. That was the announcement this morning. 3/4 of Lassen Forest is gone. That's unacceptable.
And if any of you have been in Yellowstone National Park, that's a perfect example. When I was a child, I spent a lot of time in Yellowstone National Park. We used to vacation there every year. When I returned there a few years back, I was absolutely devastated to see what had happened to that beautiful wooded area after many years of fires and let it burn. When we went there, there were two fires burning.
Right.
And nobody doing anything. And as I drove around, and I would say, I was with some friends, and I would say, we used to camp right there, and that was all trees, and that lake was there, and it was devastated. It looked like a moonscape. Now we're looking at Whiskey Town and what happened up there, right. And I just cry every time I go up and through that area.
Lassen Park.
Now we've got Lassen Park. And that's just, I can't even think about it. Lake Almanor.
Right.
That area up there. Another place where I spent a lot of time, and that's got to be horrible. Even the homes that were spared up there, they're going to go back, and that's just not, it's going to be a long time before that's anywhere near,
right.
What it was. And that was a beautiful area. So many beautiful homes burned and timberland and areas. It's not a fun, nice thing.
Right.
This portion of the show has been brought to you by Quick and Clean Car Wash. Spring on over for savings at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading. Buy 5 car wash coupons and get 1 free, or buy 10 and get 3 free. Quick and Clean, they've been in the area for 100 years. They know what they're doing. We'll be right back after these messages.
Farm's opening weekend is happening this Friday and Saturday. See the new scare for this year at Hawes Farms. It's fun for the whole family with a kids roller coaster, go-karts and bumper cars, pony rides, Little Bugs Playland and Petting Zoo, zip lines and pumpkin cannons. Jump on the Hawes Express Railroad train and cruise around the orchard. Remember, it's family night every Thursday with free general admission thanks to Sinorama. Hawes Farms is now open for all the fall fun and food. Hawes Kettle Corn, hot dogs, Moe's Pizza, plus beer and wine for the 21 and over. All the haunted attractions are open too. The Field of Screams, the Sinister Workshop, and the Zombie Slayer paintball excursions. Come blast some zombies on the Zombie Slayer rides. Special thanks to sponsors Above Board Construction and Roofing, Redding Heating and Air, Cinerama, and Redding Harley-Davidson. All tickets are being sold online this year, so get online to HawesFarms.com. Complete pricing and scheduled events are online at HawesFarms.com.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE. Or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Professionals from all over the world have been working remotely, and the hardest part is finding a great place to focus and get the job done. Drop-in Go Working at 155 Lake Boulevard East offers modern and clean workspaces, call booths, conference rooms, and secure fast Wi-Fi. Drop-in's pricing is pay-as-you-go, with bundles of hours as low as $3 an hour. No contracts, no obligation. Drop-in Go Working, 155 Lake Boulevard East, next door to Starbucks and Subway across from Waterworks Park. Drop in for an hour or more and try it out. Drop-in.mobi. That's drop-in.mobi.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Like that song. Welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, Your Talk Radio. Jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567. It's Friday morning, October 1st at 7:50 in the morning. And this is Trish Clark and Baron Browning this morning.
Carl, that's some fun.
Yeah, we're just talking about whatever, and if you've got something in this last little portion, in the next hour, Congressman Doug LaMalfa is going to call in, and we'll have an opportunity to get some updates on the madness going on at the federal level, hopefully, and maybe cast a little light on where they think they're going. God help us. But we've got another 10 minutes or so if you've got something you'd like to talk about. And we've been talking a little bit about all kinds of things, not the least of which is our forest health, which is in terrible straits. And if we've got to get to a point where we start investing at least half of what we're investing, putting the fires out, in going in and managing our forest land. What little we're going to have left in the West Coast after this season. What did we say? 3/4 of Lassen Park gone now.
Yes.
That's just incredible. But we've got to go in, and after these fires, we've got to go in, we've got to clean up, we've got to replant, we've got to manage our forest land, and so that when you have a fire, it can burn through clean. You know, years ago, and I know people are probably tired of hearing me say this, but the Indians did it, and the ranchers
yes.
did it, and at the end of the when they'd bring the herds out of the mountains
That's
in
right.
the fall, they'd bring them down, and the last guy out would light a fusee and burn off the whole area.
Right.
And so in the spring, when we went back and they brought the cattle back up there, they had all that new grass, which was good for the not only the cattle, but the forest animals, and,
right.
and kept those fires. They just burn through. They wouldn't go up in and crown into the
right,
trees.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we have a phone call. We're going to go to the phones. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Trish. I've had a question I was going to call, been meaning to call in about, find out how that outfit that's building the houses there, the prefab ones in Anderson.
Oh, U.S. Offsites.
What is it?
U.S. Offsites.
Yeah, well, I couldn't remember the name of it.
That's okay. Yeah, we just had a meeting with them, I believe a week or so ago. They're still moving forward. Obviously, there's a slowdown process because of the cost of goods right now. I know they spent quite a bit more money than they were planning to do on the concrete alone. So yeah, I think you'll see them slow down and wait for the pricing to come down a little bit and then start the process.
The other thing that's holding up a lot of the big projects right now is the an inability to get things. We've got so many ships and trucking companies that are not delivering.
Right.
You'll notice it in I shopped yesterday at I've forgotten the new name, Cash and Carry, United Grocers, whatever it is.
Yeah, we still call it Cash and Carry.
The chef store. But I was amazed at the paper products and the container stuff and the lack of goods on the shelves. You're going to start seeing that. It's because of so many things that are tied up in shipping.
It's really simple. Like, if you just look at, for rotary, we get aluminum foil, and we were just having a discussion yesterday. It used to be $30 for a big old roll of aluminum foil. It's $70 now.
Yeah.
It went from 30 to 70, over doubled. And so when you're building a project of that magnitude and you're, you know, 2.5 times more cost, you know, you've got to factor that in and go, well, you know, is it worth it right now? Can I wait a little bit? You know, what's, you know, and that's their decision. They didn't give us the whole scoop for sure, of, you know, the direction they're going. But, you know that that's definitely part of the equation is just the cost factor.
Are they able to open and function as soon as they get materials or what?
Yes, they have contracts for, my understanding is, for quite a few years. Already. And that's not including the ones they get after they start rolling out. It'll be a great thing for the city of Anderson.
Boom,
and yeah.
I'm a retired carpenter.
Oh, there you go.
And I did high-rises, and I did the outsides of them, and then I'd go do the interiors.
Yep.
This is going to be quite the thing once it gets up and rolling to see how much quicker and easier it will be to build these big complexes.
Oh, and you've got a better control on the countertop.
Yeah.
Right. Your cost goes down. I mean, it's a win-win-win for everybody.
Oh, yeah. And speed picks up, and, yeah.
Yeah.
Working conditions are better.
That's right. Absolutely.
All the things that these businesses have tried to start, and some of them are, yeah, like this one, being held up. But this last 2 years has been a little different operating conditions.
That's right.
or even lumber.
Oh, yeah.
Wiring. Nails. I've used nails from Korea years ago, and they were shattering because they didn't have the quality of steel in it.
Right.
We need to get our steel plants and get that electric one running.
That's
well,
right.
Gee, you know, we had a president just recently that was doing all that kind of local build stuff and using local products and American made. I don't know what happened to that whole thing.
I need to get these loggers out here and cut down their stuff that didn't burn all the way through.
You know, I remember the Fountain Fire when that was a bunch of Sierra Pacific land and Roseburg land. And I can remember because they have a 30-day window where they don't have to file any paperwork to remove after an emergency. And they literally, and we had watering trucks coming down for the Fountain Fire, and they were bringing smoking logs off of that thing and literally having to stop and spray them down as they were coming down off the mountain. But that's how quickly they were getting that timber out of there that they could salvage.
Well, hopefully Doug LaMalfa has some answers for us.
Yeah, we're hoping when the congressman calls in, he'll have some great wisdom to shed about what we're going to do about this situation.
Well, a lot of places those trees are too close together anyhow. They can be thinned.
Yes, agreed. Agreed.
Then you're talking helicopters you can't come out with.
There you go. All right.
Thanks for the call, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. So, yeah, that was a good business reflection. A lot of startups in Anderson that are not moving as quickly, but a lot of them are going forward. Good construction on the Cornerstone Bank.
Yes.
That's moving along.
We're excited to have them. They just had greeters, Anderson Chamber greeters there last Wednesday before last. And great discussion. It's they're a fun group. You know, they're definitely a community-oriented company.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be nice to have them in our town.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And people are excited.
And it is, this is the first Sunday of the month coming up, so I want to remind everybody that we are doing the community breakfast at the Frontier Senior Center. Barron, he likes to come and help us. This time he's going to be a guest with his daughter for her birthday.
Yes.
But we do have the community breakfast. We invite all of you down. You get your choice of pancakes, sausage and eggs, or French toast, or biscuits and gravy, and it's homemade gravy, and I understand everybody kind of likes it. So
they do.
Good.
Absolutely.
It's a good, good thing to help support that senior center down there. Good group of people.
And only $7.
And exactly. It's $7. Yeah. You get fruit and juice, all the coffee you can drink. Great opportunity to bring your family and friends and just kind of visit through the morning and a lot of community members there to help serve you, and we just love having it do that. Also remind you that, the Frontier Senior Center is supported by ETC, the thrift store over on East Center Street. If you've got good used usable items, small furniture items, utensils, all those kind of things. Donate them at ETC, and all the proceeds from that and goes to support the Frontier Senior Center
and our seniors
and our seniors, because you know the Frontier Senior Center, I always like to remind people, is different than most of the senior centers in the state of California or any place else. It's privately owned, it's not government funded, and so it's supported by the community and by the seniors without government help. So all of your donations stay directly with those seniors.
That's right.
Okay, so we are going to go to a break here. We're going to come back with Congressman Doug LaMalfa after these messages.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh testing positive for COVID-19.
The High Court issued a press release saying that Kavanaugh has no symptoms and has been fully vaccinated since January. Kavanaugh's wife and daughters are also fully vaccinated, and they tested negative. The court's new term begins on Monday, and the justices are returning to the courtroom to hear arguments after an 18-month absence because of the coronavirus pandemic. They had been hearing arguments via telephone. Greg Clugston, Washington.
President Biden's $3.5 trillion spending proposal is up in the air amid dissension within Democrat ranks. Far-left Democrats refuse to support a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill without it being linked to the larger Biden proposal, which is opposed by some more moderate Democrats. Correspondent Bernie Bennett says a standoff forced House Democrat leaders to put off a vote on the infrastructure bill.
After a long day of meetings between Speaker Nancy Pelosi and the warring centrist and progressive factions of the caucus, Democrats opted to delay a vote planned for Thursday rather than allow an embarrassing public failure on the House floor. The House is expected to reconvene Friday morning as negotiations continue.
Senator Rand Paul chastising Health and Human Services Secretary Becerra for criticizing those who have natural immunity from COVID-19 and choose not to get vaccinated. The Kentucky Republican citing multiple studies on the effectiveness of natural immunity, telling Becerra,
"We've chosen to travel the country calling people like Jonathan Isaac and others, myself included, flat earthers. We find that very insulting, goes against the science. Are you a doctor or a medical doctor?"
I have worked over 30 years on health policy.
You're not a medical doctor. Do you have a science degree? And yet you travel the country calling people flat earthers.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 108 points and NASDAQ down 48. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com. Football is back, and so is tailgating. Whether it's Friday Night Lights, Saturday College, or Pro Sundays, Solaire portable infrared grills set up fast and heat up quickly. Only 3 minutes to searing hot temperatures, just like the big backyard Solaires. The Solaire grills will make you the master of the tailgater with the juiciest, most flavorful food in the parking lot. The fast grilling times leave you more time to talk up your team, and they cool down fast so you won't miss a minute of the game. The Solaire Anywhere and Solaire Everywhere portable infrared grills are perfect for any grilling on the go, from picnics to camping, RVs to boating, but especially tailgating. And they're made in the USA with the confidence of a 100-year-old family business. Amaze your tailgating friends with Solaire infrared grills. Learn more about these fantastic grills at besthotgrill.com. That's besthotgrill.com. besthotgrill.com.
Russia has stopped sending natural gas to Hungary by way of Ukraine's pipeline network. Supplies rerouted through the new TurkStream pipeline bypassing Ukraine. The BBC's Mike Sanders.
Washington and Brussels have long warned about Europe's reliance on Russian gas. The huge spike in prices as the European winter approaches has heightened that concern. The CEO of Ukraine's gas transit company, Sergei Makagon, said Gazprom's monopolization of gas routes raised questions about the fundamental transparency and competitiveness of the European gas market. He said its leverage for obvious political purposes must be stopped.
Australia outlining plans to lift a pandemic ban on its vaccinated citizens traveling overseas, take effect next month, but no date has yet been set for welcoming back international visitors. Travel restrictions that have trapped most Australians and permanent residents at home for the past 18 months. Townhall.com.
He is a longtime environmentalist with a controversial past. Senate Democrats confirming the president's choice to lead the Bureau of Land Management.
She's been praised for her dedication to the outdoors, but also described as an eco-terrorist. Republicans sharply criticized Tracy Stone Manning. She's been approved to lead the Interior Department's Bureau of Land Management on a party-line 50-45 vote. In 1989, she was a graduate student at the University of Montana. She received immunity from prosecutors and testified against two friends who were convicted of inserting metal spikes into trees in a plot to sabotage a timber sale in Idaho's Clearwater National Forest. Stone Manning had been a top aide to a former governor of Montana and to Democratic Senator John Tester, who said she did nothing wrong and helped put wrongdoers in jail. Her most recent job has been with the National Wildlife Federation. Jennifer King, Washington.
Watching Wall Street, the Dow up 112 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
And good morning. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567. It's Friday morning, October 1st. This is Trish Clark, and I'm joined in the studio as my co-host this morning with Baron Browning.
Good morning.
So, we're glad to have you back with us this morning. I do have to announce that those of you are, well, of course, if you're trying to listen on FM, you're not because the FM station is off. So you can jump in and go into the chat room. You can go online and get us or at 1460 AM, but due to power outage, technicalities, power issues up on, with a generator up on the hill, the FM is not broadcasting at this point. It's about 76 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 91, a low of 60. On Saturday, sunny and a high of 93, a low of 61. On Sunday, a high of 93 and a low of 61. And on Monday, a high of 90 and a low of 59. On Tuesday, cooling down a bit, 83, 56 at night. And on Wednesday, going to be 76 and a low of 53. Thursday, a chance of showers, partly sunny, with a high near 73. So it's cooling trend just a little bit. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. We'll go to the phones, and we've got Susan Eastman on the phone this morning from Stifel Nicholson. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, everyone. Well, the Dow is currently up 93 points at 33,937. The S&P 500 is off a point at 4,306, and the NASDAQ composite is losing 80 points at 14,368. Active stocks this morning, Merck up $6.36, trading at $81.46 per share. AMD down $1.61 at $101.27. Pfizer off 97 cents, trading at $42.04. Stocks of local interest, Costco down $7.47 at $441.71. Walmart down $3.30, trading at $136.07. Target off $4.17 at $224.60. In the bond department, the 10-year Treasury note is priced to yield at 1.477%. And over to commodities, gold is up $4.60 an ounce at $1,761. Silver positive 33 cents at $22.50 per ounce, and crude oil is trading at $74 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investment, Stifel Nicholas & Company, member SIPC and New York Stock Exchange for KCNR.
All right. Thanks, Susan.
Happy October. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we're waiting for Congressman LaMalfa to call in. He's not called in yet, so we're going to just, if you've got something that you'd like to talk to us about, give us a call at 605-4567, and Baron and I'll just kind of go along here.
We'll wing it.
We'll just wing it until, I'm always afraid of that when someone's supposed to call in, so that's why I made sure I had a co-host this morning. It's a whole lot easier to wing it with two of us here than it is to wing it by yourself, although I can always find something to talk about, I guess.
I think we both can.
I think one of the things that's certainly on everybody's mind right now is the local recall. I think that one of the things, before I get back to our local issue, I think one of the things that happened because of the COVID situation is that a lot of people got to paying a whole lot more attention to the things that were going on in their community. Certainly with the homeschooling, I think a lot of parents' eyes were opened up across the nation as to what their children were being taught in school. You're seeing across the United States an uptick in people getting involved with their school boards and having some say about what their children are being taught and asking for things. And I think that's a very positive outcome. One of the reasons we get the government that we have is because we don't pay attention. We get the kind of government we deserve. It's a republic and we're supposed to be involved. And when we aren't involved, bad things can happen. Which is kind of a good segue into welcoming Congressman Doug LaMalfa. Good morning, Doug.
Hi, Chris.
We're joined in the studio this morning with Barron Brownie as my co-host. I know you know Barron.
Good morning, Doug.
From the city of Anderson.
He's a great guy there from Anderson, yes.
All right. So what's going on in the insane world that you live in?
Well, I was delighted to hear what you were just talking about as I was on hold there of, you know, people getting involved and pushing back and stuff. Right now I'm in the back room just off of the House floor as we await some kind of word on the negotiations the Democrats are having amongst themselves on the infrastructure bill, which is about 24 pages. I'm looking from the cloakroom through the doorway. I can see the stack of the bill sitting on the secretary's desk. It's about a foot and a half high. I didn't pick it up to weigh it, but I guess take about 7-8 reams and weigh that. So the Dems can't come to agreement on the infrastructure bill, and they're tying that to the $3.5 trillion budget reconciliation, as it's known, bill. So the AOC crowd wants the big bill. I mean, the most liberal of the Democrats. They want the great big spending bill that's got all their wishes in there and will probably transform the look and meaning of our country and how its government operates. Moderate Democrats won't vote for that without an infrastructure bill, so they can go home and say, hey, we got a couple lanes on our highway, we got a bridge, or we got some green energy or something like that. So, they're kind of at their own odds amongst the Dems with the hard left, with the medium left, trying to find a counterbalance to get each other to vote for this bill. And so you see over in the Senate, Senator Joe Manchin and Senator Kyrsten Sinema from Arizona, they aren't going to vote for these giant colossal things. They're pretty moderate Democrats as defined. They think it's crazy. As to that level of spending, even for moderate Dems, I'm standing here looking. There's a magazine called The Washington Examiner I'm holding, and it has a picture of Senator Joe Manchin on it. But the headline is "The Party of One."
Yeah.
He's kind of his own guy there as a West Virginia senator. So there's a lot of dynamics going on right now. And as we've conferenced and talked with each other in the Republican conference this week, a lot of the guys are really saying this is a historic week. This is a kind of one of those almost a make or break week on this stuff. So it's pretty grave right now. And so as you're leading here, people pushing back, you know.
And it's time we did that, Doug.
I can't do it by myself at this level. And if you got, you know, some valiant patriots there on a school board that's outnumbered 4-1 or 3-2, you know, on this horrific curriculum they're putting in on critical race theory or, some of these crazy, basically inappropriate sexual content they're putting in.
It's incredible what's coming out. I mean,
yeah.
Who knew all this stuff was being taught in our schools? And I think that's one of the important things that we have come out of this 2-year COVID mess that we've been in, is that perhaps the American people are waking up. What's going on with this administration would wake the dead, as far as I'm concerned. I just can't. I mean, one thing happens after another. Your mind must be reeling, Doug, on a daily basis, the decisions that are coming out of this administration.
You know, People that know me probably think of me as a pretty, maybe quiet or pretty calm and like that. And that's really, I guess, who I am. But, you know, inside it does churn. And just because you see me with a quiet and a reserved surface and I don't get out there getting into a lot of hysterics, this is a grave moment. And I get angry as anybody about it, but I have to keep my wits about me in order to find ways to win, because you don't want me to be back here being ineffective because I can't control my emotions like that. People that can't control their emotions aren't very effective, although in today's society, it seems to kind of work when you got Antifa and everybody else running around there and everybody kowtows them. You know, the city of Seattle, the city of Minneapolis, they just lay down for them anyway. But that is not the type of government you want. We want the type of government that obeys the law, that upholds the Constitution.
And we need desperately to get back to our Constitution. And certainly I think, and I've repeatedly said that I think I'm more a constitutionalist than I am a Republican, if you will. I mean, I believe so strongly in our Constitution and getting back to the founding documents and operating our country as a republic, which I don't believe we've been doing for a long time.
We should all be constitutionalists. You know, I mean, anybody that takes an oath for anything swears to uphold that. And the Constitution, you know, it is created by man, created by people, so it can't be perfect as defined compared to what God would have us do. But doggone it, as far as something that can be created by people, it's got about the best possible set of checks and balances I think you could put in any kind of document. And so, yes, it's very important to try to uphold those values as long as we can. But, you know, people are greedy. People are jealous. People desire power. People are basically, you know, the Bible verse says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Yeah.
Everybody has this in them, and you know, through our civility, through society, through being trained, our parents train us to be better, or, you know, or attended the church, or, you know, the things we do civically make us better. You know, your accountability to your spouse, all those things are supposed to make us better. And so, collectively, when we all have this, you know, accountability amongst each other, to your spouse, to your community, or at church, to God, all those things make us more accountable. And when everybody's doing that, it's kind of like having, you know, these cross accountabilities of what made us great and strong for so long in this country. And, you know, you can pick a period, several periods of time when it really started to go bad. You could say, well, was it the 60s and 50s? Was it the 30s with a big lurch towards most socialism in government? Was it 14 or 13, whatever year they created the national income tax and, you know, all that. And we started making some big changes then in the form that the founders had.
I think, Doug, that we don't
have the accountability anymore. Sorry.
That's okay, but I think we can point to, you know, the founding fathers were very clear that the documents, the founding documents, were written for a moral society.
Looking for the quote on that.
Yeah, Adam's
quote.
Yeah, and as we have gone and gotten away, and you can track it to where we got God out of the schools, and we got God, you know, we started down that road, and I think you can look at the destruction and the things that we're facing now with our education system and our children and everything, and you can track that right down from the time when they did a different reading of the First Amendment that we'd always followed and said, yeah, you know, it's separation of church and state. And I have had people argue with me, well, it's in our Constitution, and I still carry a pocket Constitution in my purse. And I always say to them, you show me where that's in the Constitution, because it's not. And so
nope.
That was when we started down that wrong path, and that's my kind of bandwagon. We're going to take a break right here, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, this is Billy Pilgrim from my buddy Doug Tooley from BNT 241-3474. You need to know that number, 241-3474, for the best service. Doug and his great crew at BNT makes TV so easy. They're the experts. They do TV wall mounts. They did one for us. TV antennas, surround sound. They can even set up your RV or set up your boat. Doug doesn't do dishes, but he'll dust behind your TV. So for all your TV entertainment needs, no matter what it is, call the local guys. Call my buddy Doug Tooley, the nicest man in the world, at 241-3474. 241-3474. They'll be there on time. They'll get the job done on time, and you're good to go.
With over 60 years of combined experience, let us, your locally owned TV guys, help you. We know what we are doing. You can trust us. Call me, Doug Tooley. 241-DISH. That's 241-3474.
Doug makes TV easy.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
At the Wagner Law Group, their goal as a fire victims law firm is to advocate for those who have been victimized by Pacific Gas and Electric Company's negligence. The Wagner Law Group has been rated the number one fire attorney group in Northern California and has low contingency fees. So, if you or your loved ones have been affected by the Dixie or Zog fires, contact the Wagner Law Group today. Call 833-200-7111. That's 833-200-7111.
And welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. This is Trish Clark. It's Friday, October 1st. I'm joined in the studio co-hosting this morning with Baron Browning, and we have Congressman Doug LaMalfa on the phone. Congressman LaMalfa, we just had a listener call in, and they wondered if you could comment about the Lieutenant Colonel who is presently in the brig, for lack of, awaiting a hearing or something, for speaking out, yeah, the Marine.
Scheller. That's Scheller, yeah.
Yes.
I joined a letter this week, petitioning them to, release and give him due process, okay? He needs to go through due process because there's a military question there on, you know, what his conduct was. But it's a lot like some of these January 6th folks that have been thrown in a hole and not been given due process to be arraigned, to have a chance to plead and move on, you know, in what they're being held for. That isn't right. That's not what we do, supposedly, in this country. So he's due that as well. You know, he spoke out against the way things were operating within the military. Now, okay, we all understand that the members of the military really aren't to be out there expressing opinion in that way. It's the ones at the top that deal that in their interaction with the civilians that govern in Congress or others like that. So, you know, you've heard in the past they aren't really allowed to be political. Well, he made a statement. He made some statements out there, and that got him in trouble. So, at the least, he is allowed due process, and that's what we're petitioning for, and many of us in Congress signed on to that, saying this he should have at least the right to defend himself and have his voice be heard as to what went on there. If he's, you know, penalized for speaking out politically because that's not allowed in the military, then that's a different question. But
exactly,
he should be thrown in the brig
and forgotten about. So,
as you indicate, though,
and believe me, we've gotten many calls and many emails to my office, and most of my colleagues are getting that too. There's a lot of folks aware of this, and they're upset, and for good reason.
Well, and as you indicate, because the people from January 6th are being treated totally different than all those people that have been rioting and burning and what have you in Seattle and Portland and all of those places and year and a half now, nothing is done to them.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's two different standards of justice or injustice, really. And so, but this is part of the problem. You know, somehow these people got elected that are in charge here from the White House and their whole administration. They've put in place this Department of Justice, this Attorney General, and the powers that be, whether it's FBI or all the other ones. We're in a bad way right now because we're seeing yet, once again, kind of like Obama's Attorney General he had, Eric Holder. He upheld the laws he felt like upholding.
And flat out did
the state level too,
and refused to do things that were right there that should have been done. I want to ask a question. 2 years ago, I brought my grandson Logan back to Washington D.C. You will remember you were so good and your staff was so good, and we did the tours of the White House, and we did the congressional, both sides. You took Logan and I around. In fact, we were able to just be in all kinds of places. We did the FBI. I have a friend that works in the Pentagon. Logan was able to go through the Pentagon at that time. We went through the FBI Academy, all these things. Compare that with what would happen if I tried to bring my other grandson to Washington, D.C. for a similar tour right now.
Well, there's two layers of problems on that. First, they've used this virus situation as an excuse to just shut down everything. We're not allowed to have people in the gallery here to observe what we're doing. Our committee hearings are almost ghost towns here, and nobody can attend them because, oh, my gosh, you know, you might spread the virus. And I've really, really become sick of how the virus is being manipulated, and it makes me I have difficulty even taking it a whole lot seriously anymore, even though it still is, you know, don't get all up in arms. But, you know, we have the Delta variant, which it's kind of convenient. We have the variant when things seem to be tailing off in infections and such. The variant comes out. And so it's another round for Gavin Newsom to clamp things down in our state and scare the hell out of the boards of supervisors and city councils and everybody else and the health directors into keeping everything clamped down too. So we need our local leaders to be bold and say, you know what, I appreciate your opinion, health director, but we're not going to do exactly what you say. We're going to, as the electeds in this case, as the decision makers, we're going to decide what the policy of Shasta County or Butte County or Tehama County or Siskiyou County is going to be, not somebody in a bureaucratic chair who wants to have a zero risk world.
Well, and I think, unfortunately, there's a lot of us that they think this has gone beyond health issues. It was politicized from the very beginning. And while we recognize, as you said, that this is a serious problem, people are getting sick and dying. However, we've never shut down our country and all of our small businesses over something like this in the past. And we need to get on with life.
So if you tried to bring your second grandson here, it's a hurdle even to get into our office building. For a while, it was completely closed, but now, like, my staff has to go downstairs, pick people up at I call it the bing bong machine, the security area there, and get you through and bring you up to the office and escort you out. You know, it's like some kind of Checkpoint Charlie situation. So you can't freely come into your office, your congressional office. You can't come into the gallery and watch the operations of the House or the Senate. Many of the tourist attractions are limited or closed as everybody's hiding behind a COVID thing.
There you go.
And that's very convenient because we know that a lot of times unionized workers don't really want to be there to begin with, right?
Yeah.
So they pound on it. They take advantage of this in these areas. And so, sorry, Charlie, that's going to make people mad too, but they're maximizing the protocols on this in order to not have to do the normal things.
There you go.
And so, you know, but you still have essential workers, Trish and Baron. You still have essential workers that all along since they declared day one on this thing, someone still had to run electricity generation plants and make sure power was delivered to hospitals and homes and stuff so we could stay stuffed in our homes. And somebody still had to drive trucks to bring groceries so that you could, you know, figure out what hours of the day, if you're a senior, you can go to the grocery store or other stores or, you know, and have somebody make you wear your mask when you come in the store. And, you know, they get to handle your groceries with their gloves on, but they wear the same set of gloves for everybody's groceries that have been handled by somebody else. You know, it just becomes a silly joke here after a while, but I could go on a roll all day here with it. So we have to fight for our independence on this all over again, because there's no reason anybody should trust Fauci anymore, and
or anything else that's coming out on that. I think,
or Walensky over at CDC. CDC a few days later overrides what the FDA, which is the one we're supposed to trust, of, you know, who's going to get the booster shots. The FDA makes one pronouncement. Walensky at CDC, in an unprecedented deal, overrides that, says, well, we have a longer list of people that we think should take the booster, you know.
At some point, we have to really recognize it, that I think one of my physicians said it better than anybody else. And he said, what we know about this COVID is that we don't know. And with that, I'm going to take a break. And, Terry, we'll get to you on the other side of this break. Congressman LaMalfa, we'll be right back.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today's review is Michelef Grande Bold, a classic Maduro stick with a rich, dark, oily Ecuadorian broadleaf wrapper surrounding Nicaragua's best tobacco. Full-bodied and full flavor, your palate will delight with hints of dark chocolate, nuts, and cedar. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Gruff. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't?
going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news. Everybody, listen up! You want it, that's the way you need it, any way you want it.
And welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM. 1460 AM. A reminder that the FM is off the air due to a power outage, but we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com, or you can give us a call at 605-4567 or at 1460 AM. This is Trish Clark. It's Friday, October 1st. Baron Browning is in the studio with me. We have Congressman Doug LaMalfa on the line, and we have a phone call from Terry. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. Good morning, Doug. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, good, pal. How are you?
I'm okay. I know there's a lot of frustration and angst. A couple things. One is that the health director serves at the pleasure of the Board of Supervisors. So even though they have to look at the mandates, the supervisors hire and fire that person. That's where the jurisdiction is. And I know for you, you're as frustrated as the rest of us in California over the fact that there's a lot of things, especially for you. I know it's hard because your jurisdiction is federal, and some of the stuff the state does, even though you're mad as heck, you can't do anything about. The other part that I wanted to ask you about, and that is that with Article 20 of the California Constitution, the supervisors can intercede like they did in San Joaquin. I'm sure you're aware of that lawsuit.
Go ahead.
The lawsuit in San Joaquin County, the Board of Supervisors has brought forth a lawsuit against the state in that they will not allow the state to get rid of their medical workers if they're not vaccinated. And they are putting their foot down on it, and they have sent their health director to the state of California to fight against this. They will be on Red Light Blueprint Episode 6. That'll be part of it. But I think that we have a problem with them. This is something you can help.
That's one of the first things I've heard in a real legal way of anybody fighting back on these mandates, because I hear of many workers that are, you know, pushing back, saying, "Well, I'm not going to have somebody force me to prove a vaccination." And so if they work right up till the last day, November 1 or whatever, and they walk in that day, they get escorted out. That they're going to take vacation time. They're going to take off time. They're going to just not show up for a while. And, the state of New York, their new lefty governor there, she's going to allow those people to go ahead and be fired and replace them with National Guard medics.
Right.
Isn't that unbelievable? You're going to have a guy at your bedside.
I know, brother. I know.
We're in camos or something.
I know. And the last thing is that, I think that what we can do, though, is I think we can start taking back our government, Doug, and we need people like yourself who have a passion for that. Because right now, the creation of the federal government, the creation of the states of the federal government, with the compact they signed, that creation in 1789 is now taken over the creator, and we can't have that anymore. So thanks for your hard work. I know you're doing what you can, but maybe with your influence, you can start pushing some of these guys to work a little harder here in California.
Well, I think that lies a lot with, our local elected officials. That I know it's hard, because Sacramento is dictating to them, and Gavin Newsom is going to be, he might even be more angry now after having survived this recall.
Yes,
to inflict upon rural counties and those. The top three counties in the state were my counties here on recall turnout, 83%, 78, 74 amongst, Lassen, Modoc, Siskiyou, and Tehama, some combination of three of those four were that. And so they're not going to probably be very favorable towards us up here, but,
it doesn't matter, because when we see our healthcare workers that just until a couple months ago, we're calling them heroes, right? They're out on the front line. And indeed, they're doing, you know, pretty much heroic things during this so-called pandemic. I hate using that word. But the battle continues. And so I want our local government folks to say, to listen to their health people as advisors. But they still have, they're the ones that run for election. They're the ones that are sworn in to uphold laws. I mean, to take that advice that comes from those people they hire and make the decisions themselves, not just completely flip over to it because they don't want to lose state funding or what have you. They need to call their bluff on it.
Yes, sir. And one last thing, Doug, real quick. Our supervisors stopped all their meetings. Number one, they stopped all their meetings, and they canceled. They canceled the meeting to meet with the medical workers. Our supervisors did that. It's atrocious what's happening here. Anyway, my friend, watch episode 6 of the Red Light Blueprint. God bless you.
And thanks, Jerry.
Keep going.
Okay, and I will remind you, Doug, that is happening here in Shasta County. They were trying to recall 3 supervisors. They've gathered enough signatures for 1 supervisor, which that count will be going on now to verify those signatures. So it looks like there's a good chance they're going to go after 1. But it's exactly Supervisor Modi is the one that they gathered the signatures for. District 1 and District 3, they were unable to get enough signatures at this point.
The window is closed on that.
I sympathize with the people that were trying to get signatures because they had concentrated on Supervisor Modi to begin with. When we got the smoke here, and I don't know how much time you spent here in the summer, but you couldn't go outside and breathe. I mean, we were absolutely locked down with the smoke.
I was home a lot in the summer due to our congressional schedule and such.
Right.
And it's not quite as smoky down in Butte County, where it is socked in the mountains, but it's nasty everywhere. And of course, I was spending a lot of time up in district, like a lot up in Plumas and Lassen. You know, going out and seeing people and seeing what to do to help on the fire situation. So yeah, it really was nasty. But that does not make the atmosphere for trying to do anything outside, does it?
No, it certainly doesn't, because a lot of us were just locked down if we have any kind of lung conditions or anything. But the reality is,
yeah,
back to how we started this whole conversation, is that people, they're starting to fight back. They're angry. They want their government to be responsive to them. And unfortunately, our local elected officials are tone deaf. With the exception of the Anderson City Council, which for whatever reason seems to be listening, and I'm very proud of that town. But I will tell you that, they've tried to pass the tax bills here. They've done a lot of things, but until the County Board of Supervisors and the other city councils get to the point where they're listening to the people and being responsive, they're not being trusted. And that's maybe for good cause. And
well,
that goes all the way to the top.
What helps is having a very focused message. When you talk to the elected officials, you know, me included, the message that people bring needs to be, you know, pretty thought out and pretty focused on what is it you really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes what you see happen is when meetings end up, whether it's a town hall or a scheduled board meeting, that if when it turns into a little bit of shouting and yelling and things that haven't really, maybe sometimes don't make sense.
Right.
That makes it very difficult for them to respond. So it's wise when people organize amongst themselves and say, let's have a very coherent, focused message and on things that are attainable, okay? You know, going and venting at the meeting and just, you know, showing anger, it doesn't give the supervisors, your city council or your water boards or, you know, whatever other local entity it is, something that they can act on. And you have to come with a tone that, you know, I mean, I'm used to having rough and tumble in this business. So I've trained myself to not just, if someone's yelling at me, to take it so personally. But it's a lot nicer when it's more of a conversation. You're sitting across each other at a table and you're walking your way through it and each side is listening. But that requires both sides listening, because as your representative, you know, me, my staff, and the people that we work with that help inform us, we're looking at this stuff all the time. And if I've expressed to you out on the trail, out on a campaign, or out in just life, here's my belief system, and it really lines up with yours. You know, it really lines up with the same values. But all of a sudden, I'm riding this bull here of over 200 years of layers and layers of bureaucracy and layers of court decisions. We're not in 1789 right now. If this was 1820, you could peel back the onion back to the Constitution pretty simple, but a lot of years, a lot of layers. And I'm not trying to make an excuse for this, but it's just, you know, the train is already in high speed when I jumped on it.
Yeah.
And,
So we
try and pick the things we can win on, but it also helps when the voters are helping in terms of elections to give us majorities in the House and the Senate and people in the White House that are coherent too, you know.
I think one of the things that's important and what's been lost in a lot of these battles is the frustration. Certainly, I chaired many meetings in the 20 years that I was an elected official, and you really have to be in control of what happens out there when those meetings start to go astray. You've got to keep them on focus and on target about the things that they can talk about and the things they can't talk about. And I saw that didn't happen with the Board of Supervisors. By the time they actually opened themselves up to listen to them, their demeanor was at sometimes insulting to the people because they appeared not to even be listening on many occasions. And they didn't take control as they should have when people were standing out there yelling. So there was fault on both sides of those meetings. And as you said,
and then
you lose it. Then you accomplish nothing.
Well, yeah, because if you're not sitting up in that supervisor's chair, as you did, Trish, with empathy towards, and you, it's not just acting. You have to be really, and if you're not prepared to sit in that chair for hours, and take it in and understand, you know.
Try to comprehend and listen.
Yeah. Then people are not going to feel like that you're their representative,
right,
whichever district you're from, you know. And if they don't feel that way, they run out of patience real quick, and that's when it does get out of control.
Yeah.
So you have to be looking at them. You have to say, all right. And you say, okay, here's what I heard you say. You know, bing, bing, bing.
Yeah.
And then maybe your answer is like, well, I understand how you want to get to that. Here's the roadblocks we have set up, you know, by state rules or by other rules or budget realities that we have. Here's why we can't do that. But your idea here has given to me, why don't we look at this third way over here so we can start pushing towards that. We can start getting that. You want your road fixed. You want the park open. You don't want a bunch of homeless there or a bunch of clean needle exchange needles laying around the park, you know.
Yeah,
we're on the same side on that. So if you're empathizing with people and actually making them be listened to, you're not going to draw that the same amount of ire. You know,
yeah.
The supervisors, if their empathy with the folks should be like, look, man, it's the state of California that's dumping this on us. You know, and to Gavin Newsom, that's why he deserves recall, is because he doesn't care anything about it. They have their agenda down there, and that's it. And it isn't, you know, necessarily our state assembly state senators, because, you know, the ones north of Sacramento, they're on our side, but they're outnumbered.
Exactly.
So all of us have to speak together. All of our counties need to be banding together, all of our city councils and, you know, and their associations, and keep pounding the message, and, you know, until a point you decide to have massive disobedience. And I don't know what that would look like. But,
yeah.
You know.
Well, we need to take one final break, and so we'll go for these messages, and then we'll come back with our final segment with Congressman Doug LaMalfa. And at that point, I want to talk about the election process a little bit, Doug. So we'll be right back.
Okay.
Having football down to a science starts with having sleep down to a science. Because the better you sleep, the better you show up on game day. That's why NFL players rely on the Sleep Number 360 smart bed. It senses their movement and automatically adjusts to keep them effortlessly comfortable. And it tracks vital sleep metrics like average heart rate and average breath rate, so they know exactly how well they slept. It tackles the science. All they have to do is sleep. Don't miss our weekend special. Save 50% on the new Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. Time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Since 1890, Stifel has established itself as one of the nation's leading wealth management and investment banking firms by understanding clients' hopes and dreams, focusing on building and preserving wealth. Simply put, when you achieve your goals, we achieve ours. I'm proud to be a part of Stifel as a financial advisor. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments. Call today for quality time well spent. 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Hey, Northern California, this is Nigel Skeet. Join me and my friends every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. at the California Adventure District radio show, where we talk about all the amazing adventures to be had in our area, from climbing Mount Shasta, hiking the trails, kayaking, overlanding, and camping with Bigfoot. We have it all. California Adventure District. Less people, more adventure. Listen Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m.
Welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. It's Friday, October 1st. This is Trish Clark and co-hosting this morning with Baron Brownie.
Good morning.
And we have Congressman Doug LaMalfa on the line, and we've been talking about all kinds of things. Congressman LaMalfa, I'd really like to talk about our election process. And I'll say right up front that I believe that the 2020 election was absolutely, completely rigged. I will never acknowledge, and Carl gets mad at me because I say this, but I will never acknowledge the person sitting in the White House now as our president. That was a cooked election, and I think the same thing happened in the state of California. And my opinion is, and I'd like to hear from you, is until we address how we elect people in this United States and get rid of this mail-in ballot, everybody getting a ballot, whether they're registered or not, everybody in the, every citizen getting a ballot, we're never going to be able to elect a Republican anything again. How do you think about that?
It's very dangerous what the election process has devolved to under, you know, some of these provisions the Democrats have put in place. When I was a state senator, for example, I asked to be on the committee on elections and constitutional amendments in there, because I could see these things happening. And so as a committee member, there was one bad idea coming through there after another, and sometimes I was the only Republican in the room to speak up and protest on this such. And, you know, you'd have your testimony from the county clerks, a representative from all the California county clerks, and
I'd be making the case like, look, this is going to cause chaos for you. I hear from some of my clerks in my rural counties. On the other hand, you know, the city wants to say, oh, no problem at all. We can handle this. Like, same-day registration. Somebody, you know, there's been an election or leading up for months, and they walk in election day, shucks, I'm not registered to vote. Can I register to vote here? Why, sure, let's sign you up right now. And, you know, that throws the burden post-election when they have to certify election within 28 days after election day, or 28 or 30, I forget which. They have to grind through all these people that aren't responsible enough to be voters by doing same-day registration. It used to be 15 days before, and then I think they lowered it to 7. You know, mm-hmm. and being able to drop your ballot off anywhere. I mean, all these things make it where people can be less responsible for voting. But the bigger picture, the biggest problem, what you're talking about, is they're mailing ballots everywhere. Now, in of itself, mailed ballots haven't been so bad.
Requested
absentee. There's a paper trail of who asked for it, who's receiving it, and it's going to a real person. These guys are using files that are many years old. Time and again, someone tells my office that, yeah, my relative that hasn't lived at this address for 20 years received a ballot in these last two elections to recall in the presidential. People that have been dead for a long time started receiving them under the guise of the new Secretary of State and under these election laws. And what the problem was in some of the other states in the 2020 presidential, they're making the laws without even a lawful process.
Right.
We're talking Pennsylvania, for example. And that's what part of that Texas lawsuit was about, was that there was irregularities in these states that changed the outcome of the presidential election. That's what Texas sued for, claiming they've been harmed because if we believe that the election went differently than it would have, then we're harmed because it didn't go the way Texas voted on it. That's, you know, my rough way of saying it.
Right.
Okay. The election outcome changed, not the way Texas wanted. So that's why they sued on those six states. Well, the Supreme Court said Texas doesn't have jurisdiction. I was one of the co-signers of a congressional letter backing that effort, about 147 of us. What is my reward for that? The newspapers, the major newspaper in Reading and Chico, along with my two votes on the House floor on January 6th, to say, no, we're not going to certify these elections just yet until more of this is looked into. My reward is them, as I'm called a seditionist by these two newspapers, and asked to resign, okay?
Yeah.
So we see the media's credibility on this is just dropping lower every day because it's our job. Why do you think they even allow us to have a vote of affirmation of the Electoral College in the House and Senate? Is it just for show? Is it just a rubber stamp? Or is it that we would have a debate on certain things that might be anomalies or other issues with the way the vote was? You know, and nobody said a thing about Barbara Boxer just a couple elections before joining with some House Democrats and contesting, I think, George W. Bush's second election, saying, we think this state and that state were going to have something wrong with it. Not a word about them being seditionists, is there?
Well, so, and how about the four-year
Trump? The biggest problem, Chris, getting back to the core of your question, is that we're just mailing ballots to everybody.
That's
and
right.
They don't clean up the voter rolls. Oh, you're just trying to suppress the votes now. You're trying to suppress voters. You're trying to suppress people of color and all this and that. By cleaning up the voting rolls of people that are not at the right address, or people that are not alive anymore, or people that maybe haven't elected or been participated in a long time. You know, that's just accountability. I don't care what color or what gender or what anything they are. You just need to be an active participant with a legitimate address as a legitimate voter.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, all of the things that we try to put into the signatures, you've got to sign. You've got to have an identification. You can have an identification to buy a bottle of booze. You got to have an identification to do anything, to go into a theater in a lot of instances, to do anything. Why don't you have to have an identification to vote?
The Democrats have created just a big whole front on this and made it about racism. You know, racism is the key word to about anything these days by trying to have accountability in the election. This whole thing, you know, Georgia, state of Georgia, passed some election reform down there that actually is a little looser than some of the pieces of Colorado, but they want to tighten things up after all the problems they had down there a little bit. It doesn't exclude anybody from eligible voters from voting at all, by color or any other reason. But they created this whole atmosphere, this whole narrative, that even the Major League Baseball decided, well, our All-Star game was going to be Atlanta, but we're pulling out of there because of the politics, and we're going to move it to Colorado, which actually has a little tighter,
competitive
side by side. Their election policy is a little tighter. So it's just a stupid set of rhetoric all across the board, and we can't allow ourselves to be painted into a corner and be fearful because someone's going to call us a racist or somehow trying to suppress votes. Like, well, I guess we are trying to suppress illegal votes.
There
like
you go.
The border.
Yeah.
We should be suppressing people from coming across the border illegally and, you know, bringing all the COVID with them. What a set of hypocrisy that is, that they don't get tested and they get put on planes and dropped off in whatever states. Like, well, and Jen Psaki comes on there, this White House press secretary, little red-haired gal there. She says, well,
we know
that they don't intend to stay here very long. Oh, they don't intend to stay here very long. When the pattern has been for illegal immigrants to apply for asylum.
I hate to cut you off. You're on a roll.
Trial for 2 or 3 years. Yeah, I'll let you go. Thank you.
We got to go.
Thanks
so
Doug.
Much. Great conversation. Final, just
right,
before we go off the air, second caller, we have two screaming hunt passes to the
Hobbs Farms.
Hobbs Farms. Second caller, you get these tickets.